Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Kings, depending on your vernacular. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. The preseason is over. The offseason is over.
Yes, indeed.
Football is upon us, and I got a reminder this Saturday. I cut on my TV and saw all those glorious football games.
Oh, yeah, man. College football was on, bro. Like, I was loving college football.
I was like heaven, bro.
Oh, yes, man. I got the Florida State SMU game playing right now.
Yeah, it just started, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had that, like, power outage.
It's a game they should be playing tomorrow, in my opinion. You know, you can't communicate with the quarterback. There's no comm communication. There's no light. The lighting is really poor. The quarterback got to run to the sideline for every damn play, everything else. It's kind of like old school football.
Yeah,
it's old school football. Well, really high school football.
To change it, though, last minute. It's just too much logistics that goes into it, man.
Yeah, I understand.
Dudes got to get back to
like, shit, move it to tomorrow.
Yeah, but SMU got a game on Saturday. They're already working on the short week by playing Monday.
Yeah, and they already go on.
So they play Monday and then turn around and play Saturday. You can't play Tuesday and then Saturday.
Oh, fumble.
Yeah,
Florida State ball.
Yeah, you saw that Miami was trolling FSU.
Yeah.
They were doing something on their Twitter page like blackout.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
hey,
man.
What's his name? Malik Tony? Bruh. That boy's serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That boy's serious.
Is he related to the other Tony?
Antonio Brown is his dad, but it's a different Antonio Brown. It's not it's the AB before AB, the Antonio Brown that played for the Redskins and for the Buffalo Bills.
I know you're talking about.
And he went to West Virginia. He was a wide receiver as well, but, you know, not the crazy Antonio Brown, but you know, it's an AB, but it's a different AB. But yeah, AB is his dad. I was like, oh, okay. All right,
bro. You forget how much time has passed by, though. I wouldn't have been surprised because you're looking at that game. Who is it? I think he played for Wisconsin yesterday. What's his name, son? T.Y. Hilton's son.
Oh, yeah.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton got a son in college playing at Wisconsin, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy when you think about it because it's like you still think of T.Y. Hilton being young, fairly young.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's been out the league for a minute, though. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. When you start seeing people's son play, I start noticing that with basketball, bro. I was like, oh, snap. Tim Hardaway, who?
It's something serious, man. Seriously, because, I mean, you know, you look at Notre Dame. Hell, they got, you know, Jerome Bettis' son. They got Larry Fitzgerald's son. They got Plaxico Burress' son. Mm-hmm. All these cats out there that we ain't even seeing getting on the field yet because they all freshmen, you know? Man, that Notre Dame team is loaded, bro. They are loaded.
They loaded up, man. They're going to be good for a little while, man.
Yeah.
That game this weekend going to be good. Texas and Ohio State.
Yeah. But yeah, I hate to say it, man, but I just don't see, Arch being who everyone thought he was. Not only him, though. You know what I'm saying? Not only Arch, but, I mean, you got to understand that Arch and also Bryce Underwood from Michigan, they just not laying like that. It just is what it is, you know. We want him to be better because of the hype and everything else that came along with it. But after seeing what I saw again when I saw Texas play last Saturday, Arch just didn't have it, bro. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't play bad, though.
He didn't play bad, but he wasn't.
And you got to think about it, too. Like, I think they're gearing up. I think that first game, it's against, you know, whoever. I mean, he put up good numbers. It was like close to 400 yards, right? 300-something yards, four touchdowns. He did have one interception. So, you know what I mean? I think they're gearing up, man. It takes a minute. But they're loaded in Texas, too.
Yeah, they are.
Cam Coleman is no joke.
I'm just saying they better be ready come Saturday. Cause them Ohio State boys, that's a different breed.
Hey, is that dude Wisner? Is he playing for Florida State right now?
I don't know yet. They haven't, you know, Florida State did a quick three and out after they got that fumble. So
yeah, running back. He used to play with Texas last year. I thought he went to Florida State. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Before we get to the Bears, Ohio State has a guy by the name of Legacy Bay. Pay attention to that name, Legacy Bay. They are dubbing him as the great as Reggie Bush 2.0.
Oh, okay.
Legacy Bay. He had seven carries last Saturday. He had seven carries for 89 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Legacy Bay.
Reggie Bush is from Texas. He's a running back from Texas. Legacy Bay.
I need to see it against the top notch schools. Who did they play? Ohio State. Who did they play?
Ohio State beat up on. Man, I couldn't even tell you, bro.
That's my point.
It was 56 to whatever. You know what I'm saying? 56 to whatever. It was kind of funky, but.
I ain't saying any bad.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're like, bro, you had Dez Bryant tweeting, you know what I'm saying? Man, this is the greatest player I've saw since Reggie Bush. And I'm like, nah, bro, you tripping. Like, come on, man, step off the ledge, bro. But, you know, he's a prisoner of the moment. A lot of people are prisoners of the moment. But, I mean, the limited catches that he did have, he was electric. I mean, the limited touches, excuse me, that he did have, he was electric. So, I don't know, man. You know, you got him, of course. You got my man Julian Sand out there throwing for 350-plus. You know, they did all this before the first half. You know, you had Smith, you know, having 150 receiving yards before the first half is over. Now, can you imagine if Smith would have went to Miami like he's supposed to? That's where he's from. If he would have went to Miami along with Tony, Jesus Christ, Malachi Tony, can you imagine them two together at Miami?
Yeah,
it wouldn't be fair. Right there. And then, of course, for Malachi Tony to do what he did Saturday, you know, Saturday, he had 240-some yards receiving, 234.
Mm-hmm.
School record out of all the great wide receivers that then came out of the U.
Yeah.
And he got that record. Like, what? And it's some dog-ass receivers that came out of the U. Michael Irvin, you know, Reggie Wayne, you know, Andre Johnson. You know, the list goes on and on. And it's like, damn, and he got that record? Says a lot. But enough about these cats, man. What about these Bears, man? We got the Carolina Panthers. We got to go to Carolina, right? Or is this a home? No, we got to go to Carolina. So we'll be going down to the Carolinas.
We can get into that, but we talked about it before, and it actually happened. That trade, Javon Dexter.
Yes. Oh, we did. Yeah, and we did speak of that on our last pod. Yes, indeed.
You know what happened. So yeah. Bears traded Javon Dexter for a fifth and Clark Phillips, cornerback out of they played at Utah, kind of a nickel back and play outside, athletic dude. You know, he was a good prospect coming out. So
yeah, and he's still young. What is he, only like 24? Right?
That's a nice little swing
of, you know what I mean, because you can get, that's a place of need that they needed. And Dexter became a little bit expendable because you do have some guys that's waiting, laying in wait to kind of take that spot. I think it was a good trade for the Bears, to be honest with you. You know,
I look at the trade from a standpoint of it was a needed, you know, you go with addition by subtraction. And given the fact that Javon Dexter was there, he didn't fit the scheme. He didn't fit what we were trying to do, the direction that we were trying to move into the next season. Not only that, he was slow coming out of his stance. You know, not really a guy that to be reckoned with in the middle. He was solid, but he's a depth piece, and he's going to be looking to get paid. And we can't pay a depth piece that's looking to get paid. So, again, you get rid of him, and that's addition by subtraction because, again, you know, we got – Love. We got Love, who emerged. Not only did we have Love, which Will will go over some of his tape, because he was posting some highlights of Love and Vandenberg on Twitter, man. And one of them, I seen him literally pick up a guy and throw him. Literally pick up a guy and throw him into the damn back, but I let Will get into that. But now we got these two monsters in the middle, you know, and people laughed at me when I gave the comparison of Vandenberg. Who did I give him a comparison of? Mongo McMichael. And I said, bro, I see it. And people like, oh, hold on, man. That's a little, no, goddamn it. I know what I see. I'm not going to second guess. I'm not going to bite my tongue on what I see. This is what I saw. When they said we drafted him, I went and looked at his tape. I said, comparison to anybody that we had on the defensive line, Mongo McMichael. That's who he reminds me of.
85 Bears paired him to two. They did as well.
Yeah.
So you ain't alone.
That's why I'm like, man, I seen it. And I'm like, I know what the hell I'm looking at. I can identify talent immediately. It pops off the film to you. It ain't hard, yeah. Pete. It ain't hard. It pops off to you. Anybody that don't jump off the tape to you, they ain't that guy. I'm just going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? When my man Vandenberg gets down in the stands, when he gets down and he lines up, he pops off of that tape. Touchdown SMU. That was quick. They finna get my man fired. But anyhow, he just threw like a 50-yard bomb to my man, and he just walked in the end zone. Florida State, what happened to Florida State, man? Jesus Christ. But anyhow, Jesus, my man.
This is Famous Jameis left.
Yeah, and that was, and when Jameis and them was there, that was the first time in how many years, how many decades?
It's been a loss since Peter Warren.
Man, you know, I couldn't fathom a Florida State team in the 90s this bad. I couldn't even imagine it this bad. A Florida State team in the 90s, the early 2000s, or the 80s, horrible. Mm-hmm. But, hey, whatever.
I mean, once Bobby Bowden was gone, boy, it's been tough since then.
And they ran him off. So that was the crazy part.
Yeah, the last couple of years of his regime, too. Like, you know, they be throwing salt in the game in some of these coaches. Like, they did the same thing with Texas, right? So, when Mac Brown, they ran him out of there, but they kind of threw salt in the game with him, and kind of got him out of there earlier than what was expected, in my opinion.
And they ain't been the same
that's the way it goes. No, but they've been they on the up now. Since Sarkisian got there, they've been much better. So, you know, we'll see, man, if they can put it together. I don't know.
But yeah, so you know, those guys pop off on the tape. Back to the Bears, Love and Van Buren, they pop off on the tape to me. But you know. It was addition by subtraction with that trade. You know, you get better up front. And there, again, like we said, there was a reason for why Ben said what he said about that defensive line, you know, because, again, in the beginning, when you had them on that line, you know, we're looking like, man, I mean, the line is okay, but, you know, it ain't what we think it is. You know, I'm like, what the hell Ben looking at? Well, you know, we see Love and we see Vandenberg. And it is, well,
Vandenberg.
We see Vandenberg, you know, and those two guys, man, and when they pair up with each other, they play off each other really well in the middle. Those are our two starting D tackles. There you have it.
Nah. You think they're going to sit Grady? He going to be coming off the bench?
Grady Jarrett? I mean, I think Grady Jarrett will start out as the starter, but as the season goes on, his old ass ain't going to be out there in the middle. Not like
maybe,
that.
Maybe as the season goes on, but as of right now, I fully expect him to start. I don't know what they're. You know what I mean? I don't want to crown the dudes, man. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like I'm a wait and see type of person because, you know, it's a lot of people that you could be high on, but what happens in that game? You know what I mean? Like I got to see it. I got to see it in game. Not in no freaking preseason. Not in training camp. I need to see it in game. You know what I mean? When you're going up against ones consistently, when you're putting on them pads and you hitting out there, then I got to see it. I'm not saying that Vandenberg ain't going to be able to do it or the other guy ain't going to be able to do it. But at the end of the day, I still need to see it before I really believe it. You know what
Aren't
I mean?
They both in their early 20s?
I think Vandenberg's like 24, ain't he?
Yeah, he's like 24 because he went to Penn State first.
Right, yeah. He went to Penn State first and transferred to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, but he's still 24.
The boy got skills, though. Yeah, 24 is still, you know what I mean? But it's old for a rookie, though.
Yeah.
Normally, you see a rookie is like 22, maybe 23 at the max. But, you know, now you're getting these guys, they're coming out 24, 25 because they got that COVID stuff going on, you know what I mean? The extra years that they get and the ability to move around. You got guys that's playing 5, 6, 7 years in college.
It's a career.
Shit, yeah, because they paying them now.
Yeah, you in college, he was buying laundromats in college.
Right, perfect example. Look at, again, like I said, Bryce Underwood. You know, he's at all the Piston games. He's sitting next to 4-2 Doug, and he want to sit next to Babyface Ray and Big Sean and all them, courtside with the jewels and dripping and everything else. Bruh, they made it. You know, you want to sit next to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you know, you want to sit next to Aiden Hutchinson and all them. They made it, bro. You haven't.
Well, yeah, he's making millions of dollars in college, you know,
and that's all he gonna make. That's it.
That's all
he gonna get, that 13 million. That's it.
Yeah,
invest wisely, young brother.
Yeah, they might get depending on the round, but yeah,
riding his Lambo down Joy Road.
I like Loving, but that boy Vandenberg, man, like you said, it's at first, like watching his tape at Georgia Tech, it almost was like unreal. You know what I mean? Like, I saw, like, I was watching the clip and I had to catch myself. I was like, I don't know who they played. It was Western Kentucky or some shit. It wasn't like they were all that. But the dude picked up a center, chucked him into the running back. You just like, this is nasty, bro. You know, this is nasty. Like, the dude just like, he just creates pressure. Like, I don't think that's going to really change. I don't think he's going to get a gang of sacks. I don't think, like, you know, DTs don't get a gang of sacks. No. But I think just him being able to dent that pocket, because the Bears didn't have that. Great. Yeah. I mean, I like Dexter, but Dexter was more like a cleanup sack guy. He, you know, right. He'll hold his point of attack, and then he had enough speed to track down a quarterback and get a sack. But he wasn't collapsing the interior of the pocket. Great. Right. Jared can do it a little bit, but he's older. He was hurt. Right, he can't do it as consistently as he used to do it, and the Bears need that, and that's going to help the edges because you can't step up in the pocket.
Right,
yeah. Then you're going to have Sweat. You're going to have Booker being able to, you know, to rush off the edge. So I don't think the defensive line is going to be like all that. I'm not saying that, but I think they're going to be better probably than what fans, you know, thought they were going to be. And like I said, we talked about it last time, the depth. When we had Chris Williams and, you know, Andrew Billings, what he was at that point in his career coming off, they weren't getting much, man. So right. When you took Grady and Dexter out, it was a complete drop off. You didn't have anything out there. And I think guys like Gallimore and Street, they're depth pieces, but they play really hard. I like that about them. They can actually penetrate. They play really hard. They're not all pros, but you can just rotate those guys in and out. And I can see what Ben was talking about. I'm like, okay, all these guys can penetrate the pocket, all of them.
Yeah.
They're not Aaron Donald.
Right.
They're not Chris Jones.
Right. You know?
But you need to be able to dent that pocket and not have teams just gas you for all these runs, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. We might not have the best pass rush. We got a good secondary, even with the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop the run. So the defense has to be able to do something good. If we ain't the best pass rushing team, we need to be able to stop the run and defend the pads. And then you might get some sacks because you're forcing teams to be one-dimensional and you're covering well. You may get that's how you're going to have to play because we don't have Khalil Mack. We don't have Hakeem Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have Leonard Floyd. So this is what it is. So that's how they're going to have to play defense, man. But I like the young guys, man. Loving's he's more of a nose kind of tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You need a big guy like that, young, that can stop the run, that can take up two double teams and free up other guys, man. So I think it's going to be interesting. The season's going to be fun to see how these guys play, man. Speaking of,
it's good, man. It's good. Those guys, having those guys on the team is good. You know what I mean? And Dexter, Javon Dexter, he got a lot of flack, right? He got a lot of flack because of what he brought to the table. People talk about his, you know, DeVore, you mentioned it. You know what I mean? Like getting out of the stance. That was a culprit. That was an Achilles heel for that dude. You know what I mean? You might say. But the biggest thing to me is being able to dominate at the line of scrimmage. And that's what you're talking about, Roy. You like, you know, being able to put a dent up there, being able to kind of dominate. You know, we mentioned it before when we was talking about Javon Dexter, Vita Vea, and you think of guys like Dexter Lawrence. Those guys, Dexter Lawrence had 1.5 sack. Vita Vea had 4 last year. You know what I mean? They're not big sack guys, but they're known for being able to dominate at the line of scrimmage.
There's very few Warren Sapps, people. Very few. John Randall's and Warren Sapps.
You don't, exactly. There's very few of those. But you don't have, You don't have Jerron Dexter had 6 sacks. Great. You know what I mean? But there was a real bad situation when it came to the running game. He just wasn't good at defending the run game. He didn't dominate up front. He didn't keep people off the linebackers the way you should. Those are all, you know, that's all job parts that defensive tackle has to maintain. He has to do. That's some of his job. It's not just going to get the quarterback. Your main job for going to get the quarterback is your linebacker sometime on blitzes or your outside guys, your defensive ends. That's not the main job of a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get people to understand that about the game of football. Like, you're not going to get that. If you think Vanderberg's going to get 15 to 20 sacks a year, it's not going to happen.
That would be insane, you know, bro.
It would be insane. I love it.
That's Aaron Donald type.
Exactly. I love it. But it ain't happening. You know what I mean? But he will be able to dominate the line of scrimmage more so than Jerron Dexter ever was able to do. So that's what – when we talk about addition by subtraction, what he's talking about is that. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I said, the other key piece is getting that other dude, Phillips, man. That's a nice little pickup because he can play the slot. You know, we got Kyler Gordon who's still injured. So there was a need there. You know what I mean? There's a need there. So, you know what I mean? Just to have this guy, he's still young. You might be able to get him in there and pull someone out of him. Because obviously you pretty much squeezed the juice, out of Jerron, and there ain't much left in it. Now let Atlanta figure that out. That'll be their problem to figure out. You know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, man. I think the DB was good because right now you got Malik Muhammad playing the nickel, who I'm excited. I like that.
Yeah.
Play, giving him a shot, but you still need an option.
Yeah,
you still need an option because he may be an outside guy. We don't know yet.
Yeah,
he's still a rookie.
And he's still a rookie. Exactly. He may struggle. You never know.
He may get targeted. And you got a vet that you know you can plug in there because Kyler Gordon's not there. We need Cam Lewis to back up the safety spot. You know. So that's a nice pickup. A guy that's still young, who's played ball, who's athletic, who likes to hit too. I like nickelback. I like cornerbacks that like to hit.
Right.
So I mean it's a good thing. I just want to get people realistic. I don't think this is gonna be the 2018 Bears. The 05 Bears defense is not. So adjust your expectations accordingly.
Right.
But hopefully they improve. With that being said, how y'all feeling about the Panthers?
Going down there. I believe that they're a worthy foe. They're a worthy foe. But I just don't think they have enough that's going to be able to contend with us. I expect this game to be, with it being the first game, I expect it to be first game jitters. You know, with the Bears, they're probably, I'm not saying they're going to come out, hit the ground running. They may come out, hit the ground running, but I doubt it. But by, you know, midway through the first quarter, going into the second quarter, I expect us I'm expecting the same, you know, game that it was last year, you know, where we start to pull away, you know, second quarter, third quarter, by fourth quarter, the game is put to bed by that time, you know, and we are getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings in week 2. So Panthers, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. They got, they got Bryce and, is that his name? Bryce?
Bryce.
So, you know, they got him, you know what I'm saying? They got Tet McMillan. Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Somebody needs to study the fall off of that other wide receiver that they got from South Carolina. Xavier Leggett, because I think bro just got the money and just was like, I'm straight on everything
else. When Cam Newton making fun of him or something?
Yes. Yeah. He was telling me, like, bruh, come on, man. You got to do something, you know?
Hey, young fella.
A young fella, he got to do something, but it's like, man, dog, it's like Xavier Leggett, you know, he got to messing with Glorilla, you know, and the rest is history, man. And of course, she left him alone, and then she started dealing with, you know, your boy that hoofed for the Raptors. So it is what it is, you know. I mean, I don't see Carolina having anything. Their defense is stouch now. They got a stouch defense. They got a very stout defense, but I don't think their defense is. I don't think too many defenses is a match for our offense And I'm just going to be honest. It should be a damn track meet, in all honesty. You know what I'm saying? Ozzie Trapillo, you know what I'm saying? He may be ready at the left tackle spot. I doubt it. But, you know what I'm saying? Who knows? I don't trust Braxton Jones over there at all. You know, he was getting shotgunned in the chest and pushed into Caleb. I wasn't feeling that. Then not only was he, then he was getting pushed into Bajan, you know, and I'm like, bruh, like, you know, grown man just pushing you, caving your chest in, pushing you back there in the backfield, man. You know, like,
no, they ain't gonna leave him on the island like that, though.
Absolutely, man. No anchor in his ass, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to have, the young tight end over there helping the chip. You know, that takes away from the offense, man. That takes away from the 12 personnel when you doing stuff like that. You know, 13 personnel, 12 personnel, it takes away from it. So, okay, Ozzie, he'll get healthy when he get healthy. But in the meantime, in between time, like I said, this Carolina game, I expect the Bears to fully handle Carolina with ease, as it should be. Now, again, like I said, I expect them to start out slow. But then once they start picking up and getting things going, I expect this to be a rout. And I ain't going to say like a rout like 40s and 50s, but I'm expecting the same result as last year. You know, when it was like, 31-13, 31-10, something like that. I'm expecting us to go ahead and handle business. Also, with Rome Odunze being out too, you know, well, not being out, but being held out of practice, he was willing to come back. But, you know, everybody wants to make a big issue out of that. Oh, here we go with the Rome injury. Like, nah, man, he all right, bro. He's fine. That was a precautionary method. Yeah, it was a precautionary method why they held him out. But
yeah, what do y'all think? Now that you bring Rome up, though, like, what do you think about his numbers? Like, is this like kind of like make or break? I mean, it's his third year, bro. Same as Caleb, right?
Yeah.
So is it like make or break? Do you?
Yes, it's a make or break year. It's a contract year, which all the more reason for why Caleb is going to make sure he gets paid. He's definitely going to make sure he get paid.
I mean, Caleb going to get his money, I'm sure.
Yeah, he going to get his money.
But what do the Bears do when it comes to Rome? Do you pay him early or do you wait another year?
No, you wait. You pay him next offseason.
You got to wait, right?
Yeah. You ain't got no rush.
He's still
in
the good free option. Yeah, you ain't got to rush that.
Nah. Okay.
I don't think they done with him, but what is year three? So he got year three. He got next year.
Year four.
Then you get the option. Yeah, I mean, you can drag that out, and then you can do.
You can drag it out, but you make more. You know, if let's say he has a decent year and it's not the greatest, right? Mm-hmm. Do you go ahead and sign him? In my opinion, I try to give him some money now, and get ahead of the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you get him for the low at that point.
Yeah,
you know?
You could.
Unless he declines and bets on himself.
I mean, yeah, that's the part, but then you got to also play. He's tight with Caleb. He came into this regime. Do you really want to go out there in the cold? Hey, that dude came in. He's been living like, yeah, I don't know if you want to give that up, bro. And Caleb already put it out.
Stroud did. CJ Stroud turned down money, didn't he?
Yeah.
He turned down his extension and said, nah, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet on having a good year.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, eh. That's interesting right there, man.
Depends, man. I think these NIL boys are a little bit different, man. I think they already rich.
Yeah, I don't they think hungry they, for no money.
They, I know Caleb Dagg will be mad at him, but I understand what he's saying. He's like, I'm already rich, bro. Get more rich. You know? So actually, $20 million ain't gonna do him.
Right, he got his bag at USC for sure.
Yeah. And he gonna get more. Bro, if you the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and you good and you legitimate, you're going to be a billionaire.
And not only that, but a lot of people took, let's just talk about that for a minute. Like what Caleb said, right? A lot of people is like, okay, so he don't want money. So no. He's not about money. Now, I don't think that's what he was saying.
He was saying,
hey, he putting the onus on himself. Number one, I like that part of it. And then the number two part is, dog, if we win a Super Bowl,
yeah.
I'm going to get paid regardless. This is going to happen, right? So there's no denying I'm getting my money at that point in time. Yeah. So that's what he was saying. I think that's what he was iterating there.
It's like he can sign a $700 million contract or he can sign a $600 million contract. Mm. That's the difference. He's still going to get paid.
Exactly.
He's going to take a little bit less so you can sign Rome and keep Luther and Colston. Exactly. Yeah, he ain't dumb because he knows if he take all the money, he ain't going to have nobody to throw to. He's going to be throwing the Bird and
right,
right. Oh my God. Don't do it. Demir Bird. Oh my God.
Bird. You're gonna be throwing the baby.
Byron Pringle.
Right, right.
Lord have mercy.
Dante Pettis.
Kill Henry. He ain't dumb. He wanna keep his weapons, bro. Ain't
absolutely. Like, all right, I ain't gonna try to break the bank. How much, you know, he gonna look at it from a whole standpoint and be like, okay, well, how much to sign or keep the guys here?
Exactly.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I'll take that because I'm gonna make that money back in endorsements anyway, yeah, so it don't matter.
Exactly.
He'll be doing ask for Giordano's pizza and home run and
everything.
Right.
Come on, man. Garrett popcorn. Come on, man. They gonna make that money up. I ain't tripping.
Nah.
Jordan gonna sign him. You know, whatever, dude. So right. Yeah, man. So with the Panthers, man, I'm like, man, I think the Bears are going to win handily. Because I think there might be a little rush they got to knock off at first. Mm-hmm. You know how it is. You know, the first game, they're juiced up. Somebody run their route a little shallow. You know, Killer Bear Mills ball, and eventually they're going to get their sweat on, and then they're going to take off. And, you know, I think the Carolina Panthers, like I said, they'll put up a little bit of fight, but I think the Bears will overtake them. And shout out to the Bryce Young. My son went to a camp he had in modern day down here. Yeah, he was a cool brother. The kids,
your son was about the same height.
Yeah, man, he was up to his chin.
Oh wow,
Bryce ain't a big fella, man. Shout out to the brother.
Bryce cool, man, but he about 5'9", bro. He about 5'9".
Yeah, he and thin, too.
Yeah, he thin, too.
He ain't like, brother, I was telling him.
But he cool, though. He cool.
He cool like people. Him. He got, you know, he's a man of God. You know, he gave him a bite. He stopped and talked to all the kids. He chopped
it. Of course you like him because he went to Alabama. So
yeah, wrong time. I told him that, too. I said, wrong time. So the wrong time. Cool brother, but hey, man. Hey, bro, I don't know how he plays quarterback in the NFL. That's a talent right there, bro. Because I was like, I can't even see over the line. I'm like 6'1". Right. I'm like, bro.
They used
like
to it, man. Their eyes are trained to go to specific spots.
That's yeah, crazy. I remember they used to break down tape on Drew Brees, and he would be in the backfield. And when they slowed down the tape and you looked at it, you look at his head was looking up. His head was pointed up, like trying to look over the line. He'd be on his tippy toes. I'm like, oh my God. But hey, he made it work though, man. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the history
ever. Man. Accurate. And that's why I was looking at him like, bro, these offensive linemen be like 6'5", 300 pounds, and this dude's 5'9", like a 180.
Shoot, imagine if you had Tripillo over there, 6'8".
Yeah.
Standing in front. He's a full foot taller than Bryce, than Bryce Young. He's
200 pounds. He's a whole
foot taller than him. God, man.
I know. Shout out to them, man. But I think the Bears are going to take care of business, man. I think it's going to start the season all right. Everybody's going to be hyped. Yeah. I think the D's going to play a little bit better than anybody thought they were going to play and shut a few people up, you know. Well, it's exciting, man. We finally here, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Week 1 has arrived.
You know I mean? Expect Monday the running night. Game to take, you know, I hope that the running game, you know, takes place early in this game. You know, we see DeAndre Swift and Wanungai. You know, we see them do their thing. And then, of course, you know, it's running back by committee. It's running back by committee, so, you know, I definitely want to see those guys do their thing. I definitely want to see a Pillowhead get out there and do his thing, too, you know. I hope he don't get concussed, but, you know.
He's going to play special teams, man. He ain't gonna...
I don't know. I want to see him get some carries, man. I want to see Pillowhead get out there.
He might get a couple carries, though, because they're going to carry three running backs.
Right? Yeah. You know, short yardage situations. Put Pillowhead out there, man. You know. You got the juggernaut, dog, you got the man. Pillow head, and you got
Hook
Swift. Right, you know?
Yeah, so the first game we got the Patriots and the Seahawks on was Thursday
Wednesday
night football.
Wednesday night, yeah, Wednesday, but on Wednesday, Thursday night football. So that game comes on Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And what is it, in Munich, Germany?
Yeah. No, is it Germany?
Yeah, it's in Germany.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, it's in Germany. And then Thursday night, you got Cowboys and Giants.
I think so, something like that.
And then, of course, you got the full slate on Sunday, and then Monday you got Chiefs and Broncos.
The Rams and the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, Rams and Niners, yeah. That's the Sunday nighter, right?
No, that's the 10th. What day is the 10th? That's the Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Round. Oh, okay, good. I thought they put the nasty ass Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
On.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even see it.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. Rams and 49ers. That'll be
that's going to be an ass whooping. And I think that's going to be a domination, bro. To be totally honest, that's going to be an ass whooping.
It all depends on what the Niners injury report look like.
Bro, they don't have Kittle. They're not going to have Kittle. Oh, they're not going to have they have no wide receiver core whatsoever. That's going to be an ass whooping. That's going to be a straight obliteration on national TV. And whoever scheduled that game, he their ass whooped.
Oh, they got to play the boy. I'm drawing a blank. Aaron Donald.
Yeah. And Myles Garrett. Like, man, that's going to be an ass whipping. And then you got mid ass. Oh my God, bro. Oh my God.
That's the way this thing goes, man. Like, the 49ers, you know. People looked at the 49ers, and a couple years ago, they was in the catbird seat. You might say they was like the cream of the crop in the NFC, mm-hmm. right? And you know, there's mismanagement of money, assets in that organization, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Yeah, you wanted to get Christian McCaffrey, but it did cost you a lot. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You gave up draft picks for him. You gave up a lot of stuff. You had to pay him, so on and so forth. Yeah, you got Brock Purdy, and he was the last pick. But at the end of the day, you still mismanaged some money. You traded away some people. You did some things that probably you shouldn't have did.
Lost Debo.
Yeah, you lost
Brandon Ayuk, gone.
You know what I mean? So, and you can't replenish it. That's why I like the way the Bears are doing theirs, because they're doing most of their stuff through the draft. They're not going out and trading for top-notch guys and then paying them a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? You may do that when you're right there at the cusp of something, but – to do that, more than likely, you kind of set your franchise back a little bit in the department of staying good and replenishing the talent that starts to get old, you know what I'm saying, or injured. So, you know what I mean? Bears fans, be happy for what you got. You know what I mean? A lot of people be on Paul's case, man, but you got to look at the whole totality of the situation. He's keeping them relevant. They're fairly flexible with the cap right now, and we're replenishing talent. You know, look at what the Bears might go out there with. You might have three starters on defense that go into this first game. Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know what the starting lineup is going to be on the defensive side, but it's possible. I know Thieneman's going to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malik Muhammad might play, right? He's going to be playing a slot. And then if you got Vandenberg, that's three starters that you got as rookies that's coming in. The Bears are doing this consistently where they're getting the talent, and we're looking at it, and it's like, the preseason, this is what I liked about this preseason. It wasn't that important. I don't want to say important. It wasn't that time-consuming for me to look at position battles, because I knew the Bears have a nice roster, right? Mm-hmm. So they have a decent roster. Now we're trying to fill in and add depth pieces and so on and so forth. But then not only are we getting some depth pieces, look at that. We got three starters on the defensive side of the ball, possibly. As rookies, you got 11 rookies that made the roster, bro.
Yeah,
look at that. So when we look at that, it's like, okay, I see what Poles is doing, and he said that from the beginning. Like he said, we're gonna build this roster through the draft, and you build the roster through the draft so that you maintain, you know what I mean, that high level of play. You maintain that.
Yep.
You don't fall off dramatically, and he's doing it, man. You got to give him credit for that.
I want to say something, too, because I think I posted this on Twitter. And I ain't saying that they're the same team right now. So, you know how people are. They take everything. Because I did compare the trio of the Bears to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, Colston Loveland, Reed, Mahomes, Kelce. We don't know if they're going to reach their height, but we damn sure know they got the talent to be as good as them. They do. So, that's not a stretch. But you look at the Chiefs. I looked at the Chiefs. They've been good for a very long time since Andy Reid got there. Since what, the 2010s or whatever, 2015s?
Yeah. Yeah.
They have only had one losing season. That was last year when Mahomes tore his ACL. You look at their right, go to Pro Football Reference, it's just double-digit wins for a decade and a half.
Yeah, and it ain't just since Mahomes got there.
No.
Because they went to the NFC Champion. Yes. I mean, AFC Championship game the year before he took over.
Alex Smith. Yeah, so, but I looked at their roster, and I used Gemini. I was like, Name the big trades that the Kansas City Chiefs have made. They haven't. They've made trades away. They traded away Tyreek Hill. They right. traded away McDuffie.
Right.
They don't make big trades.
Right.
They don't do no, I traded three first-round draft picks for this defensive tackle. They don't have that. They literally draft and develop. Draft and develop. And they got that trio, whether it was Mahomes or Alex Smith before him and Kelsey, and they just keep that, and they just keep building around those centerpieces. Yep. They do not. Somebody's like, oh, they had Chris Jones. I'm like, he was a draft pick. They drafted mm-hmm. him in the second round, bro. Yep. They didn't trade three first-round draft picks for him. Right. They don't care. You never see the Chiefs make a blockbuster trade. You'll never see that ticker come across the bottom of the screen and say the Kansas City Chiefs just acquired this player for multiple draft picks. They don't mm-hmm. do it. And mm-hmm. they have been the best team in the NFL for like a decade. Yeah. And that's where polls came from. And that's the point. Like, he'll sign a free agent because most of the free agents we sign look at the contract. They like 2 years.
Yeah.
They can be let go after 2 years. Yeah. So he doesn't even lock himself in the big name free agents. He gets mm-hmm. guys that can plug and play, that can start, and then he tries to find the superstars through the draft and develop them. And
this was
that, we asked for that, right? We all mm-hmm. got on this podcast and said we want to sustain success. We want our team to be good for a decade, not just be good 1 year and go back to being bad like we always do. And he said that in his press conference. He said, you guys are used to having a flash in the pan season and going back to being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And our fan base acts like that. They act like we had that one good season. We got to make a Khalil Mack type of trade. Mm-hmm. And they're not operating like that.
Yeah.
And I like that. I agree with you, Dan. I like that, bro.
And another thing that I like too, right? Another thing that I like is that, you know, he had a press conference, I think it was last week, right? Poles did, where he said, you know, they was talking about moving off of people that you don't, you know, it didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. And he owns it, bro. He's like, hey.
Yeah.
In this game, basically, you win some, you lose some. You recognize it, okay, it ain't going to work out. Let's move on from it. You know what I mean? I think that's what they did with Dexter. Dexter is a good player in certain areas. I ain't going to knock his skill because he has produced. He got 11 sacks over the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good from a defensive tackle's perspective. But does he control the line of scrimmage? And that's what you got to do in the NFL. And if you don't pair him with somebody that can do that, then he's rendered useless. The sacks don't look good at that point. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, if you pair him with somebody who does control the line of scrimmage, then maybe it works out. But the Bears didn't have that option at the time. So he said, okay, let's move on from it. And he's done that from several different people. People get mad about the trades that he made. You know what I mean? Where he made a trade to trade away Chase Claypool trade. I mean, that's always brought up and stuff like that. But it didn't hurt the Bears. It didn't kill them in any way. Mm. You recognize it. Okay, it didn't work. Let's move on from it. You know what I'm saying? So I respect him for that. And another part of it is, as a Bears fan, what I've always wanted to see from our coaching staff, from our general manager, from our ownership perspective, do what you're going to do. Y'all are getting paid to do these jobs. You get paid to do this. So do what you're going to do. And don't let the fans or the media or anybody else influence you into doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Just do what you're going to do and then live with the results or die with
facts.
And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
Can't be mad at that. That's what we asked. Can't be mad at that.
That's what we asked.
Yeah. His fans are so fickle, man. Even the media, they get. Remember last year, bro? I never forget this, right? We had one of the best running games in the NFL. What did everybody dish about last year? Running back. DeAndre Swift is trash. We should have signed. We should have drafted Bucky Irvin, Sam Pine, Cam Akers.
The first 3 weeks, they wanted him off the team.
We should have traded up for Bijan Robinson, man.
Yeah. Who was the guy last year? Ashton Jeanty. See, we should have drafted Jeanty. Mm-hmm. They wanted us to trade up to draft Ashton Jeanty.
Mm-hmm.
Colston Loveland ended up being a better player, and both our running backs had better seasons than Ashton Jeanty. That's why you can't pay attention to the fans.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You know? And then on top of that, shit, not only that, and Jeanty may be out this whole season. Ain't no telling. With his injuries, you know?
Yeah.
So,
never know.
It is what it is. You never know.
And we know running backs, you can't. That's why you don't make that heavy investment. It's a brutal
It's a select few that you make that investment with. Guys like Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, you know what I mean? Bijan Robinson. These are first round draft picks that, okay, they are head and shoulders above other people. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey, Jeremiah Love. Those are the type of guys that's just like, okay, they got power, they got speed, they got durability. I could draft this dude. You know what I'm saying? And I feel good paying them the money. Most of them guys are not getting paid like that. You're gonna see running backs jockeying between teams, bro, like crazy. Them and safeties. Safeties that happens to too. Because those are the expendable positions right now in the NFL. You know, yeah, that's why we was able to get old boy. You know what I mean? 24, 25 years old, but he got hurt. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's tragic. Yeah, Kobe Bryant, but he was a good piece. But safeties are like the running back position becoming expendable because it's just so many of them, bro. It's just so many.
Yeah, you definitely need a committee because all these backs aren't every down backs. So you need a committee. Like you said, there's very few running backs that can do it all. And those are your top tier running backs like McCaffrey, like Taylor, like Bijan Robinson, you know, like excuse me. Like the running back that they got in Philly. You know, those are every down, you know, can do it all once in a lifetime backs, right? That's why they're being paid as such. However, nowadays, you know, those are far and few in between, and only a very few handful of teams have that type of running back. So if you don't have that running back, you got to be running back by committee. You got to have 2, 3, 4, 5 different type of guys, you know, in that running back room that you can, you know, that's for certain situations down the distance, you know, third down backs, you know, a between the tackles guy, a slash cut running type guy, you know, a speed guy, what have you. So again, you know, I like our committee. I like the fact that we got Roshan Johnson, Pillowhead, you know, we got him back there to expel some cats, you know, and I like the fact that we got the Juggernaut, which I told y'all gonna love him. I saw him in the Big Ten a lot. So, you know, you got Manungai, and then of course, you know, we got Swift, which is the slasher, you know, home run threat. So I like it. We got something for your ass on all three levels. So
we kept our man on the practice squad too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Manungai, that was another guy. I remember I told him, I think we all kind of bigged him up. Vandenberg, but I was like, hey, dude, when I watched Vandenberg, it reminded me of watching Kyle Manungai. Like Clemson, I was like, it just popped. It was just like, nah, this dude good.
Yeah,
people like, physicality, bro.
Seven round rookie. And I was like, nah, this guy's good, bro. Like when I just like watching, like, you know, you got to cut on like the highlights or something, and you get excited. Yeah. That's how I felt. I was like, yeah, this is about to be good. I just watched Manungai clips for like, you know, for entertainment when I'm bored. And that's what I felt about Vandenberg, but. You can, like, we saw it. Like, we tell people, like, nah, bro, some people just can play, bro.
People are different, man.
Yeah, it's just got to see it in the NFL. But, like, I felt that way about Mooney when they drafted him. I watched Mooney, and I was like, nah, this dude can play.
Yeah.
Like, he's skinny. He don't look the part, but I was like, this dude can play, bro. You know, you just tell with certain players, man.
Yep.
I think the Bears
are – and Mooney was a good player until he tore his knee a little bit there. So when that happened, it kind of set him back, and – a lot of times coming back from injury, it take you a full year to really get back into a groove. Yeah. And by that time, it was time for him to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was good. He did play good for a couple of years with the Bears, though.
Okay, so there's a running back at Florida State last name Chroma. Is that Chroma's brother that plays for the Bears?
I don't know.
His name is spelled with he got an African name, too. And last
I ain't
name.
Seen that many Chromas in my life.
Chroma, that's what I'm saying. So he has an African name too. He's a Florida State starting running back, Chroma.
Speaking of Chroma, bro, like that's another guy. He was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah,
he'd been on the practice squad. That's another guy that the Bears like developed. Like they got a little knack for this, bro.
Yeah.
Like, who else made the team undrafted? Skyler Thomas, the safety.
Okay. Yeah. He did.
Yeah, 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another good piece, man. You know what I mean?
And picking up, yeah.
Yeah, when you get these pieces, man, you can get these pieces and you can kind of get something out of them. And that's what I like about it because I have confidence in the Bears coaching staff now. And a lot of people were, you know, I was talking about it last week with somebody and we were talking about like you know, the difference between what we're seeing from Caleb Williams and what we're seeing from other quarterbacks. The Bears, you know, it's been a crapshoot at the quarterback position for years. Of course, mm-hmm. we know that, right? But a lot of that was because the organization was so dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by is leadership, from the ownership to the GM to the coaching staff, it was always dysfunction, something going on, something wrong. And now the Bears have turned a corner. They switched it. They said, okay, in order for us to compete with the rest of the league and actually be good, we got to go do this. So they get polls. They get, you know, he hires Ben Johnson, the hot commodity. The Bears never did that before. It was always a second-tier guy. It was always some old washed-up coach that shouldn't be coaching anymore. But the Bears went and got the hot commodity. They went and got the guy who was the one, you know what I mean, the trophy that everybody wanted. The Bears said, let's get him. So now you see a difference, and now you see this roster is being built in his image. And you know what I mean? Like, it's not only Poles. This is Ben Johnson saying, hey, I want this guy. I want that guy. I want this guy. And he's and Poles is like, okay, let me go get them ingredients for you. I'm going to get you the ingredients that you want for your roster, for your system and all of that. And I'm going to put them in the cupboard, and you put it together. You make us a meal. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. I like that Herb Howard pointed that out. He was like, he got tired of that. Oh, this is a Poles pick. That's a Ben Johnson pick. Right. No, bro, they're doing it. They're doing it together, man.
Exactly.
So they're picking these players together, bro. It ain't just one person mm-hmm. picking these players, man. And it is offensive-centric, and I think that's new for the Bears fans too, because we got an offensive head coach. You know, ain't getting an offensive head coach, and then he's just gonna be like, oh, "I'm gonna build up the 85 Bear defense."
And when you're working in collaboration like that, when they're working together like that, when it's a situation where they're picking these guys, and this is both of them involved in it, that's when the dysfunction stops. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is look at what Ryan Pace did, right? Nobody knew who he was going to draft, and he said, let me get Trubisky, right? And what's his name? John Fox didn't have no clue, right? Is that right? He had no clue who he was getting. So you see what I'm saying? So that's where the dysfunction lies. But in this situation, I feel like they're working together, and it's looking way different than anything that I've seen from the Bears in the last 20 years, since pretty much Lovie Smith, to be real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Lovie Smith and Angelo, man. So, mm-hmm. So outside of that one game, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and do this and get everybody, like, what do y'all think the season is going to look like? How many wins you think the Bears making the playoffs, 10 wins, wild card, winning the division?
I got to say 12 wins on the season, 12.
Okay, now Ned's coming in hot.
Yeah, I mean, well, we had 11 last year. So, I mean, I give us one more win. I give us 12 for the year. NFC North champs. I do feel we repeat as NFC North champs, and we let everybody know that we here. You know, we here. So I give us 12 wins. I give us 12-5 on the year. Only because, you know, we have moments where, you know, that's my floor, people. My floor is 12 wins. Okay, so I want people to understand that when I say 12 wins, that's for the floor. So, on that standpoint, yeah, that's what we have. That's what I'm rocking with. That's what we got. So 12 wins on the year on the floor. And we finished the year 12-5.
12-5. That's going to be tough, man. They got it. They got the number one, you know what I mean? You won a division last year, so you got the toughest schedule. You know what I mean? You got to play. You think about some of the teams that we play. We play the Seahawks. We play the Bills. We play Buccaneers. We play, of course, the Eagles. We play – they got some tough games on the schedule, man. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, playoff teams. But it's doable. I don't know, man. I'm thinking 11-6. I'm thinking 11-6 again. I think they go 11-6. I think they do win the division again. I don't see Minnesota being that dominant. I think we win both games against Minnesota this year. I think it's a possibility that we split against Detroit. And I believe that we sweep Green Bay. I think we will beat them twice. And that'll be good. We'll see. It's a tall task, man, because, you know, those division rivalry games are difficult, but I think it can be done. I really do. So I'm thinking 11-6. I don't know if I want to go 12-5 yet. I don't know.
Yeah, the good thing I was telling somebody, when your team is good, and I felt this way about the 18 Bears, is when you feel like you can beat anybody. You know you won't, but you can. Even the games you probably lose, going to be like a play here and there, you know, type of deal. So that's a good, even against the teams like the Bills, I don't think the Bills are going to come in and go and just spank us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be tough games.
They looking at us like, oh, shit, we got to play the Bears too. You know, it ain't just like they looking at, oh, we the Bills, we got to play the Bills. They're like, shit, we got to go over against the Bears. Caleb Williams, freaking four-quarter comebacks, man, that running game, Ben Johnson, they worried about us too.
I'm
leaning towards 11 games too. I think that to really become dominant, like 13 type of win, 12, 13, 14 wins, the defense does need to improve a little bit more.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
That's my thing. If the defense – who knows, man? We just said we don't like the Bears to swing a big trade, but if they swing for Max Crosby, it's something out of the blue. I might be like, yay, we winning 13 games, bro. We're going 13-14, you know. But I think that may be the only reason why they don't, you know, get there. Like, you know, Kyler Gordon comes back at the pump, and Kobe Bryant comes back early, and Vandenberg looks legit, Booker takes the next step. Yeah, man, we might be cooking with Crisco, you know. But until then, I'm just like, I'm sticking to 11. I think they probably still winning the division, kind of like how they won last year. I'm not feeling Green Bay that much, man. And I ain't trying to be – that offensive line is ass. You know, a lot of people like to talk about the flaws of the Bears, but I pay attention to the division. Their offensive line is not that good outside of Zach Tom. The pass rush opposite Michael Parsons, they talk about an opposite Montez Sweat. Van Ness ain't proved nothing, bro. Like, why? Who the hell are they crowning Van Ness? Like, the dude had, I think, 1 year he had 5 sacks or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so that was like 3-4 years ago. So I'm like, okay. I thought Gary was better. The interior, Wyatt's solid. Hargreaves is a little long in the tooth, but he's kind of like Grady Jarrett to me. You know, he's like a veteran. The corner's ass. Detroit got issues. That whole secondary's ass or hurt. You know, they ain't got a pass rush outside Aiden Hutchinson. You know, they got a good linebacker. It's like everybody got some issues. So when people say the Bears got issues, I'm like, oh, you got issues too, bro. You know, so yeah, the Bears, but the first step for the Bears to do something, they got to go at least 4-2 in the division.
Yeah. I seen, I don't know if y'all seen it, but Yahoo Sports put that little article out where it was talking about the Bears are making a final push possibly to try to get edge rusher
Sweat.
Josh Sweat from Arizona. I'm like, man, that's a good piece, man. That would drastically improve. You know, that would drastically, 12 sacks last year, 47 total pressures. That improves the pass rush.
What is your third edge?
Yeah,
you got a good pass rush. You the Sweat brothers.
Yeah, that would be nice, but you know what I mean? I still think I don't see it happening because I don't think the Bears are going to – like I don't think he's going to part ways with too many assets and picks to get him. You know what I mean?
No, Paul's going to offer you
not
a third.
That's not his MO. Yeah, that's not – I'm going there and say, I'll give you a fourth, maybe a third.
A conditional. A conditional third if you make a Pro Bowl. All pro team. It bumps up to a third. A lightly used Dio with Dingbo.
Motivated Dio
on the third, conditional fourth. You know, that's my thing. I mean, if that happens, then hey, I'll say 12, 13 wins if they get a guy like Sweat. You know, you use Booker like what's his name? That we used Mark Anderson,
right?
Just rotating pass rushers. You know,
And Mark was tough when he was in that role too, man.
Yeah,
Mark Anderson was tough.
Yeah, just say go get the quarterback. That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yep,
just go get the quarterback. So, man, hey. That's all I got. We can let y'all got something else. We can See how we get those.
I think that's it, man. We're looking forward to the season. I know everybody's looking forward to it. Man, let's lock in. It's gonna be a ride, man. We're gonna have a good year, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be so fun too. At least.
Definitely gonna
have fun, Bear fans.
Yes, stop all this misery, doom is gloom shit. Every damn he's out for the season. Oh, he's gonna be out. I know it. Like, damn, can you relax? They ain't even dropped the report
defensive
yet.
The defensive line, third poles.
Like, damn.
This is the best team we had since.
What was it after that? After that first, what was it after the that preseason game? They was like, I heard people like fire Dennis Allen.
Oh man, bro, yeah. After the first preseason game, dog.
He's coaching guys that are gonna be delivering packages.
These people are crazy. They're crazy.
You know we had on our team. I think I got the roster pretty good. And I was like, who is that? Who is number 43?
Yeah.
You know you ain't playing, you got a number like 43.
Yeah. Any of them odd numbers, bro. Any of them strange numbers, they're not gonna be there. They're not gonna be there.
The same numbers as a player on offense.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, hold up. Why is Roshan playing defense? Oh, that's a fifth string DB. They ran out of numbers. They just gave him the duplicate.
Yeah.
Like, why is he out there at linebacker?
Fire Dennis Allen. Oh, my God.
These people crazy, man. You know,
off a preseason game.
Off a preseason game, bro. Yeah, man. Just enjoy the season. That's my last thing I gotta tell Bears fans. Stop freaking out. Enjoy
facts.
The team, bro. We got a good team. We got a lot to be excited about. Be happy. Y'all don't hear me. I'm
Chroma gone. Chroma gone. Touchdown.
Oh, they not related. I looked it up.
Oh, he got walked down at the 10. Damn.
So, yeah.
But I wonder if that's his brother.
No, I looked it up. It's not.
Okay.
I looked it up. I was curious. But no, it was probably his cousin. Who knows, bro?
So. Never know.
But yeah, that's all I gotta say, man. Enjoy the team, bro. Like, I'm out here in Cali. I don't hear people talking about all that nonsense Bear fans be talking about. They be like, I'm a Bear fan. They be like, oh man, because Williams. I was watching that Rams game. Oh my God, when y'all walk down to practice, they talk about the Bears totally different.
Totally different everywhere, even in Atlanta. Same thing, bro. Like, people see me, I got a Bears hat on or whatever. Oh, you a Bears fan? They know, and it's like everybody else, all the other fan bases, they like, man, y'all got something working up there. Y'all got something going.
About time.
And Bears fans, though, doom and gloom, bro.
Doom and gloom, bro. They like, man, y'all legit. Y'all got a squad. Oh, yeah, man. I like that y'all picked up that thing to me got. You know,
talking about Ben Johnson changing the atmosphere and the locker room. We need to change the loser mentality that Bears fans have. Oh. That's what a lot of people need to be focused on. Change.
Touchdown, always dropping.
Wow.
Yeah, we do, man. We do. Because that should be killing me. Everybody else be like, man, y'all legit. Bear fan, oh, you suck. Fire the GM.
That's what I said. Don't let him start slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got. We'll see. We'll come back next week. Bears be 1-0. We'll hold it down.
Yes, sir. Dan, get that spaces popping, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that this weekend, for sure. We're going to get it.
All right, y'all.
All right, peace.